You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day.
This summer, this is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sap Sack. Sappy Sack. It's Film Sack episode 14, and today is a great day for another Film Sack episode. We take the weirdest movies we can find out there on Netflix streaming and other sources, and we watch them, and we come to you and sort of express ourselves in ways that you can't imagine. Joining me today for the festivities are the usual bunch. Let's start with Mr. Brian Ibbett.
Hey, Scott. As soon as I finish up investigating this flying saucer and cemetery business, I'm going to go ahead and go teach gun safety to kindergartners.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm with you.
I do, too. We have some good trivia about that, actually. Also, that other voice you hear is Mr. Brian Dunaway.
Hi, I'm in charge of saucer-filled activities. And no, that's not a bedsheet behind me whipping in the wind. It's the horizon. Now stop looking at it and use your imagination.
Wow, I'd forgotten about that. And always, as always, bringing up the rear. Not always bringing up the rear, but in the rear today anyway, is Mr. Randy Jordan. Randy Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. You know, last night I saw a flying object that couldn't possibly be from this planet. But I can't talk about it. I'm muzzled by Army Brass. I can't even admit I saw the thing.
Yeah. Army Brass. Damn the brass.
Army Brass. I love that.
All right. So you're saying to yourselves, I kind of know what they're talking about, but I'm not entirely sure. I may have seen this before. Let's let Scott Fletcher do the honors.
Plan 9 from Outer Space. After the embarrassing failure of the first 8 plans, a group of evil aliens enact Plan 9, resurrecting the dead to take over the Earth. Bela Lugosi makes his final film appearance, along with Vampyra, Tor Johnson, Criswell, and a chiropractor acquaintance of director Ed Wood, in one of the most popular cult classics of the 20th century. A 2-time winner of the Golden Turkey Award for Worst Film and Worst Director of All Time.
Hearing Scott Fletcher say it that way?
It is interesting. This is a classic. I was kind of intimidated myself with this movie because it's been reviewed so many times by people who are really good reviewers. And this is a staple of bad movies.
Yeah, I think you can actually buy the collector's edition for this film. And it includes an alternate audio track or commentary track from the Mystery Science Theater's 3000 guys. Mm-hmm. Mystery Science Theater 3000, excuse me. There's not more than one theater. anyway, so obviously this thing is ripe for that kind of treatment. Certainly it was. It's ripe for the sort of thing we do. But it's been much maligned over the years. There is a film arguably wouldn't exist without the inspiration of this very film and its writer and producer and director, Ed Wood, called Ed Wood. And it's when did that come out? 1994, I want to say.
Late? Yeah, probably was. Yeah. Johnny Depp starting it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Got your Johnny Depp action in there.
Bela Lugosi reprised his role.
he barely had... I guess my big surprise here, and I'd seen parts of this way back in the past and didn't give it any extra thought. I just sort of knew it existed. This is my first real serious viewing of this movie. Mm-hmm. Yes, and indeed. I didn't know... Like, I had this assumption that Bela Lugosi was really... Like throughout the movie was really in the movie. Yeah. Like it wasn't just like 90% of the time, according to some of this trivia, it's a guy with a towel over his head, or, you know, a guy, I'm thinking of the wrong movie, the towel over his head, but it's a guy holding a cape in front of his face and walking around trying to look like him. But for most of this, the footage where we actually have Bela Lugosi in the movie, it was actually footage for another film that didn't get any backing and failed. So Ed Wood
Dracula,
was like
Dracula of the Tomb or the
Vampire Tomb like or some something like that.
I think it was Vampire or Vampire of the Tomb. That sounds right.
That's one of those.
And that's the reason why you have that one shot where he's coming out of the tomb. And also, I don't know if this is in the trivia or not, but I kept wondering. I thought it was awfully suspicious the way they had to come out of the tomb and go, why was the wife buried in the ground and he was buried in a tomb?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's an old superstition. I'm like, that sounds really flaky. Like they had to push that in there. So.
Well, why was his wife about 100 years younger than him, too? That's
oh, yeah. Why was she way hotter? And, well, I wouldn't really say hotter, maybe. She's got that really weird skinny waist thing they did back then, you know what I'm talking about? The one that's like, ugh.
Well, it's just funny that they had the forethought to say, oh, you know, people might have a problem with this jump in logic, why he's buried in a tomb and she's buried in the ground. Forget the whole rest of the movie. This is the part people could have a problem with.
This is the part people are going to get really confused.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So back to basics, directed by, of course, Edward D. Wood Jr. is full name. He also wrote it, filmed in 1955, but released in 1959 because it took that long to get anyone to do anything with it.
Was it? I'm sorry. Not to mean to correct you or anything, I may be wrong here. I thought it was filmed in 1957, was going to be released in 1958, had some capital problems, and was delayed until 1959.
You may be correct on all counts.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's something they've all tried to forget.
That sounds like something I made up.
Yeah, it may be. So we have Gregory Walcott as Jeff Trent, sort of our hero of the day.
Yes.
That guy ended up being kind of a cool dude. He was in a bunch of Clint Eastwood movies in the 70s.
Yes.
Way cooler than he was in this.
Didn't he also, didn't he make, am I giving all your trivia stuff away? Because Van, tell me to shut up.
Shut up, Brian.
Didn't the guy also have a special spot on the that Ed Wood movie?
Oh, yeah. He came back as the financial backer, who I guess is a Baptist preacher, I guess.
Yeah. I remember reading that when I watched Ed Wood. Not that long ago, because it was such an interesting, to me it was a weird movie. But
yeah,
that was Johnny Depp.
Because it was originally called Crypt something. Let's see, did I write that down?
Oh, Grave Robbers from Outer Space.
Grave Robbers from Outer Space, right. And they changed it because this preacher didn't feel good about the term or the words grave robber. It had some sort of negative anti-religious kind of tone.
Didn't I know that, yeah.
So they changed it to Plan 9 and hilarity ensued. So what I think is great about this is you've got really interesting cast. This is where this movie shines for me in the crazy factor is that you've got a very popular wrestler at the time in the form of Tor, what's his last name?
Johnson. Come on.
Johnson, exactly. I was going to say Tor my pants, but oh, you beat me to the Johnson.
Which, by the way, there's an interesting piece of trivia about him. He wore a scar during the film when he was zombie form.
Yeah, and he also had a stroke, apparently.
I was never buying that guy as a cop. He was like, hello, where is the crime scene? And we have some stuff to play from that. But he was
Inspector Dan.
But apparently, according to the trivia, he had this scar, this fake scar on his face that they kept moving around every day because it caused a skin irritation. So there's like multiple scenes where his scar is like in a totally different place on his face, which is great.
Dude, makeup back in the day used to be so much more dangerous than it is now. I mean, all the way back to Wizard of Oz and, you know, the silver paint.
Oh, the Jed toxic Clampett, stuff they rubbed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that Jed Clampett couldn't wear, so he couldn't be the Tin Man. All that stuff.
Also a big fan of Dudley Manlove. He played the part of Eros.
You can't beat a name like Dudley Manlove.
I know. That's the worst. Randy, you were about to say something. I cut you off.
I was going to say that makeup used to be so dangerous and so toxic that as late as 1964 in the making of the film Goldfinger, Honor Blackman had a really hard time with being covered in gold makeup to the point that she flat out refused to let the part of her body that you wouldn't be seeing in a shot be covered with the gold
makeup.
Which
wasn't much.
And they did. I think they did a MythBusters episode based on that, where they covered Jamie Hyneman to see what it would do to him, and it really goofed him up. Like he got his heart rate went up and had all these like weird palpitations.
That was psychosomatic though. That guy's crazy.
Well, that's true. And he probably wore that stupid hat the whole time. All right. So moving on, a couple other cast issues. Nobody really of any note is in this, but it is important to know that his chiropractor is in the film. And I just thought that's great.
Yes.
I couldn't figure out who that is, though, is the problem. Like,
that's,
I can't.
Bela Lugosi.
No. No, it was Bela Lugosi's chiropractor, and it was like, they have the full cast I found on IMDb, but I can't find who he played.
And he played the double of Bela, didn't he? Did he not? Is that not?
I don't think so.
No, that's exactly right. That's
is that right?
Yes. He has no lines. His job was to be the fill-in guy for the scenes where they needed Bela Lugosi's character but didn't have Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
And the
Which
whole,
was almost,
you know,
the whole movie. Right.
The humor about that is that he's not the same size and shape as Bela Lugosi.
No, not even close. Yes.
Oh, no.
He's taller, so even, looks totally different. And since
he's
when
got
do
more hair.
Yeah, since when do zombies walk around with like capes like that? That was great.
That was so, which I thought was kind of clever, because I'm like, you know, Bela Lugosi at this point had been known for doing that type of shtick, that whole, you know, cover his face up with the robe kind of thing.
Well, yeah, he was Dracula,
so,
man.
It kind of worked.
Yeah,
I mean, if
it
had been anybody else, he would have totally went, why the crap is he covering himself up? But, you know, it was kind of that thing.
In other ways, it was very sad and difficult to watch, because you realize this is his last movie.
Yeah.
And what a piece of trash to go out on. And
well, his last movie, not by his choice.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
He probably, if you told him before he died, hey, what do you want to do with that footage we never used? He would have said, burn it. You know, he wouldn't have wanted it. I can't speak for the guy, but it wasn't his decision for his last film to be this piece of crap.
My favorite actor and favorite character was Danny D. Meering, who played Danny. Excuse me, David D. Meering played Danny, the co-pilot on this horribly fake plane.
Yeah. Danny Boy.
That guy was the worst actor ever, and it turns out is the first of only two movies he ever did in his lifetime. So
sad but true.
I was hoping you were going to say he was the chiropractor, because that would have been just
No. This is they kept calling him Danny Boy and all this other stuff, and it was his acting was right on par with the rest of the acting in the movie.
It's 4:15, and there's the San Fernando Valley right there out the window, right on time.
Yeah, that is true. So
who was using one of those old Ma Bell Andy Griffith phones,
like stapled to it, like bolted to his chest?
Well, this brings up the question. You know, those horrible airplane scenes brings up the question about whether or not this movie is an attempt by the filmmaker. Makers, I don't know, does it really require more than one crazy person to make these movies?
No.
But is there a conscious attempt by the filmmaker to make mistakes and have fun in doing so?
I don't know. You know? I mean, if all you need to make a movie in 1959 is a washed up, heart attack ridden wrestler, some old footage of someone who's dead, and your own chiropractor, it just seems
hey, Don't forget Vampira.
And wasn't she now? Tell me who she is. Because
I didn't realize there was really a Vampira or Vampira.
Yeah,
really?
Vampira.
Really didn't. I thought she was a comic book character from the 40s and 50s.
So did I. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. So this chick was real. Is she like the one that's on TV now with the huge boobs?
No,
that's Elvira, derivative of Vampira.
Yeah. Elvira didn't personally steal Vampira's shtick. It was stolen for her by a television station in Los Angeles.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But there's still the fact that Elvira is the carry along of the character that this actress is named. Her proper name is Myla Nurmi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she just died like a year and a half ago. And,
oh, wow.
Vampira. Yep. Vampira was always claimed, and there's no evidence that I've ever seen, but even Samantha brought this up while we were watching this movie. There's always this claim that she had ribs removed so that she could fit into the smallest corsets imaginable.
Well, I you know what? That's the first thing that jumped out at me. I actually watched this movie with Nick, and he looks up to me and he goes, Dad, what's wrong with her waist? And I went, oh, I don't know, because that looks like fancy CG effects. Like, how do they do that to this chick? So you think that's true, that there's ribs gone? No proof?
I wouldn't think that in the 40s, you could have you would feel safe with such a surgery. No.
Yeah.
No, but dude. I do think that she wore incredibly tight corsets and trained that part of her body to go into that shape.
We've seen other women like that in history. I mean,
have we?
Yeah.
You say we, I'm just saying I don't think I've ever seen a waist like that.
Just last week walking down the street. We've seen other times when people have wore corsets that really have reshaped their body. I mean, they do it all the time.
The only two women that I knew, and I knew them growing up in high school, but they were heavily into what was it, the reenactment or anachronism of like Renaissance festivals and that sort of thing. They would basically take these corsets and they'd wear them all the time under their clothes and just make them tighter and tighter until they basically had no waist left. Mm. And you could, you know, one of the women, I could actually put my hands around her waist and actually touch my fingers on either side of her. It seemed like
that's crazy.
Followed by a slap.
She was in yes. the, she was in
only
the,
when she was asleep.
She was in the big 1960 hit Sex Kittens Go to College. That was a notable film appearance.
Great
I never saw it. I have no idea.
Oh, why
I
don't we get that one on film set?
Yeah, I know it. Jeez. Because this one, well, I was about to say this one ruined our booby streak, but I mean, Vampira, I mean, it wouldn't have took much to get a booby shot on that. I mean, we're seeing a lot of cleavage.
She had a booby streak. For a film that comes out at that time, that was pretty boobyish, I thought.
It's just that there was never a human being who lived who was willing to take their clothes off in front of Ed Wood. That's all.
No doubt. All right. So let's see what else. It's a zombie movie. It's a vampire movie. It's an alien movie. That's important to note. I don't want to. Normally, this is the part of the show where I'd start getting into the overall plot line.
Yeah.
And it kind of starts with one, sort of. But then it kind of veers off, and then it looks like it's going to start over. And then it veers off again, and they try to combine the two starts into something that's supposed to be cohesive. And then it gets into this ridiculous, we have found the human land, and we have Zubba Zubba Zubba. What do you think, Your Excellency? Have you brought the people to life? I mean, that stuff looked like it was filmed 2 weeks later. Totally.
As a plot point, if I was, you know, the head honcho leader guy, and they came back and, you know, my plan was this huge plan to, you know, build this huge army, and they came back after 4 or 5 days, and he all comes happy and says, "We've revived two humans."
Well,
I would
only
knock
got,
him in the
they've
head.
Only got two electron guns or whatever.
Either that, or you would be blown away. One would have been a miracle, but two, this is amazing. Wow, thank you.
Yeah. Proves that first one wasn't a fluke.
Yeah,
that's true.
What the heck were plans 1 through 8?
Yeah, I don't want to know, dude.
This is plan 9.
I don't want to know.
I don't know, but
the 8th that failed.
They kept calling it, you know, we have these juvenile human minds, nothing, not even close to their advanced brains and their amazing technology. And I'm thinking, dude, whatever. Your plan sucks.
They called us stupid idiots. I meant to go back and count how many times Eros, who was the main interactive alien guy, he must have called us stupid like about 20 times. And something else, I'm Eros and you're stupid and you're an idiot.
Dude, that is how Dudley Manlove rolls.
Yeah.
That's how he rolls.
The funny thing I was going to say about that I thought was so weird was it's like, okay, he mentions Plan 9. The Eros does to the head honcho guy, and the guy picks up what looks like probably his script off the desk and reads it. Oh yes, Plan 9.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a little short stack of papers.
You like that guy though, because he had like that Zelda shield on his chest. Do you see that?
Right.
It's like, what the hell is that, dude?
With some sort of weapon that apparently aliens are well aware of too, like the old knight's axe with the curved front.
That was ridiculous. I'm just thinking, whose Halloween box did you get into?
You really could make a drinking game for watching this film and taking a drink whenever you catch an actor looking at their own script or cue cards.
It felt a little bit like an SNL sketch, how they always kind of dart their eyes off to the side. It was like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, again, in those horrible airplane cockpit scenes, the actors had their scripts sitting in their laps and they would look down and while the other one was talking and then kind of sometimes glance down while they were delivering their lines. That's just embarrassing.
Well, the best thing about the movie for me was the wrestler guy in zombie form. He's still, despite how dumb it is and everything else, that image of that guy still freaks me out a little bit. Something about him clomping around
with his eyes, you know, were they contact lenses or did he just roll his eyes up?
I was curious about that. Did we have those kind of contact lenses in 58?
I don't think so either.
I think he must have been rolling his eyes back.
He's a professional wrestler. He's a performer. He knows how to pull it off. I don't know. But I think Ed Wood's biggest problem in all of his movies isn't that he doesn't have ideas you can work with, because I think there's something here. I think his biggest problem is
this is a brilliant.
I think his problem
idea.
Is
a movie about I mean, really, I mean, if you sit down and pitch this story to me and you never heard of Plan 9 before, I mean, and you didn't call it Plan 9, of course, but if you pitch it to me and said, you know, these aliens are going to come down and they're going to raise the dead as their army to, you know, to overtake the world, I'd be kind of like, that sounds like a pretty good geek movie.
For starters, that isn't what they're doing. They're trying to raise the dead to confuse us into not developing the next level of weapon of mass destruction.
Oh, what's it called? Exactly. The solar benite.
The solar benite, which I love because it was so funny because he said, "We want to stop you before you find the solar benite." Because we don't want you to discover it, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to explain the whole thing to you and how it works in simple terms so your human mind can wrap around it and then go develop
while our two undead people are down there taking it, confusing everybody.
I never understood the alien's cockiness in the cockpit of his spaceship when they were in there with the guns pointed at him. It's like, we're in total control. No, they weren't.
He's a space soldier.
They didn't have any control at all.
Look, Ed Wood's problem is mostly editing, to be honest. I mean, there were times where I would be like, okay, you really needed to fill some time. Really?
That's the thing you pick.
I'm just kidding. Exactly.
Stare into space.
That was his problem, yes.
Nobody turns away. They look and they look and they look. And when that one was, when the vampire dude, the fake Bela Lugosi, the chiropractor was creeping up on the cop. And they sat on that porch and did these double takes for like the next 10 minutes. I just thought, dude, that's enough of that. What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then like 75 minutes of each of the three zombies walking individually through the cemetery where they turn around and look, and then they walk this way. And then, oh, let's use some of that archive footage of Bela Lugosi in daylight. Okay, let's go back to nighttime. And, oh, here's Tor Johnson walking towards us.
Yeah, I was going to say the alien's greatest weapon was being able to turn night to day and day to night.
Yes. Oh, man, the freakiest. Okay, I'm going to give you my first impression of what I thought when I saw the movie, and I'm going to give you what I read afterwards.
Bring it.
My first impression was, why in the world are they burying these people so fast? You know, I mean, it's like Inspector Dan Clay was killed, and then it's like they called his wife to come down to the cemetery. We already got his big fat butt here anyway. Let's go ahead and bury him now. And so it's like it was a night burial. And I'm like, I've never been to a nighttime funeral. I don't know if you have or not. No. But half of them were nighttime funerals. Half of them were daytime funerals. And then I kept thinking, why was all these day and night things going on? Well, went back and read, and apparently from the film to a tape transfer, there was a lot of problems with the way it was meant to be seen. In the film version, it looked like night when it was supposed to look like night, and like day when it was supposed to look like day.
So it's an exposure issue or like a restoration
something like
problem?
That. I guess you compared to that like an exposure issue. And another thing people complain about is like the scripts being in the scene and the boom mics being in the scene. Is because of the safe areas that you would usually see in a wide format screen are different than that of a 4x3, which you would see on the TV.
Look at you doing your homework, vindicating the production. Amazing.
But yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I would love to have go back in time and see this when it was aired at a theater and see if it was still have given me that same impression. Because we're watching on the small screen, and like I said, so much was lost in translation from what I've read.
Oh, I think it would have been pig dirt then, is just as much as it's pig dirt today. Yes, Randy.
As far as the look, go ahead.
There is a DVD out that has the film with a modern transfer instead of that horrible matte transfer that you're talking about, in the proper ratio that it was filmed in. Across the board, and it allegedly looks a lot better. But why would you ever pay anyone a single penny to do that? There's no reason to make this movie better looking, more available.
Well, isn't it one? It's one of those movies though that's on people's lists of the best worst movie ever made. This and like Trolls 2 or Troll 2, I guess.
Oh, man.
Movies like that. By the way, we got to do Troll 2 on here. But anyway,
oh, we got to. I would love to see that.
When these kind of movies kind of just permeate the popular culture and become these legends of terribleness, in a way they've far surpassed what Ed Wood would have ever hoped for it. And I think if he was around still, he'd be going, dude, sweet, my movies made it. You know, it's the biggest thing ever. And
so he'd be like Lucas, right? He'd redo
he'd be,
it.
He'd be all, just all new just digital fine stuff. With the popularity of this film. Absolutely.
I mean, I would be. This would be a fun thing to have for a bunch of nerds coming over to the house, hanging out, having fun, and watching this horrible movie.
Yeah, it'd only take up an hour and 15 minutes of your evening.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, if you cut out that stupid narrator guy, maybe even less. Speaking of which, I've got some clips of that
guy.
He
was my favorite thing in the movie.
Yeah, he was
Brian,
great.
That's Criswell,
that
absolutely.
My favorite part of the movie.
Jeez, you guys.
I've got a totally different favorite part
okay.
of the movie. Thank you very much.
Well, hang on to that. So let's listen to the weird introduction from this guy. We'll start with our clips. This is the narrator who appeared throughout the entire film. Check him out.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about grave robbers from outer space?
All right.
Can I get an amen?
I played that whole thing.
Amen, brother.
I played the whole thing because I wanted to show everyone this collection of nouns and pronouns and adjectives that meant nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
So in the future, you'll have the future. When the future... Yes, Randy, go ahead.
That was ad-libbed, right? That was ad-libbed.
It had to have been ad-libbed.
No, we hope it was.
His eyes were moving around like he was reading. Like, he looked like he was reading. So, but I think by ad-libbed, I think somebody wrote that down 10 minutes before or as an afterthought because, dude, we're only at an hour here. We need an extra 15 minutes. See if you can get Blondie over there to read this. That's what I think.
It felt like he was just... That's what I felt. It felt like he just kept making up one more thing. And one more thing. Our actors are not quite ready for the stage.
Yeah.
And they're giving me the scene to keep going on. My friends.
Nothing I can say can prepare you for the horror you're about to see.
So should I know who that guy is? Because there's something very, very familiar about his voice.
No, you should not know. You should never. No one should know.
You shouldn't know him. But he is actually a real guy.
Really?
He actually existed.
I assume he's a real guy.
He is a real human. He was not a zombie brought to life by a space gun.
He wasn't some
he was actually a true, like,
he was stop motion.
What's that?
He's a stop motion creature.
No, he predicted the future. Even before this movie came out, he predicted the future. He was also a columnist.
Yeah.
So he was the real deal. How they got this guy, I don't know.
I don't know either. That's pretty rough.
Obviously, he's really good at it if he was in this movie.
Yeah.
And he didn't see this coming.
Now,
he's got his own website.
One of my favorite by far. He has his own website still? Like, the guy's alive?
He does.
He's alive.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
he's dead.
No, he's dead.
Oh, okay.
He's dead. His memory lives on.
His site lives on.
Yeah. It's actually him. I know. It's actually him, and he's got a cape over his head. In this
stop.
That's terrible. His wife's podiatrist, I think.
her foot guy.
Yeah, her foot guy.
All right, let's. My favorite conversation in the movie happened between two gravediggers.
Did you hear anything?
I thought I did.
Don't like hearing noises, especially when there ain't supposed to be any.
Yeah, sort of spooky like.
Maybe we're getting old.
Whatever it is gone now.
That's the best thing for us, too. Gone.
Yeah, let's go.
And that was their, I think that was, except for their, that's pretty much their last scene. So I don't blame them. I'd probably
Dude,
say the same thing.
That stuff is gold.
Too,
are you kidding me? That is freaking gold. Like there's no, these old 50s movies, whenever we pull one of these out, which won't be that often, but occasionally, they're the best ones for my clips. It's like,
oh
my gosh, the grave diggers. We're only 2 minutes into this thing and listen to what they just said. Let's go capture that audio.
Mm, I don't like hearing noises. Yeah, I hate hearing sounds. Yeah, anything audible, it makes it through my ears, my brain.
Kind of spooky-like. The police inspector.
By the way,
oh, go ahead.
You very accidentally caught the best acting in the film right
there.
Yeah. Seriously, that was totally. The best acting in the entire film.
I'm going to give you that. Yeah. I actually think the alien leader with the Zelda shield on his chest, I actually think he was all right, but it may have been because he was really British, and I kind of fall for that. So yeah. British actors always seem like they're acting better than they maybe probably are, but I kind of bought into him. I felt like he was being earnest, and that other guy should just be selling like potato chips and cigarettes, the Eros guy.
Totally.
Because that Manlove guy, his kind of thing was that very stereotypic middle of the radio show announcer.
Yes.
We'll be right back with our band after this word from Marlboro, you know.
Exactly, yes.
And what was he doing in this thing? Because he did the same voice.
I don't know. I actually liked it, though. It was kind of odd but mesmerizing.
Yeah.
We're going to confuse the Earthlings with zombies that we raise from the dead.
With our fancy, stupid
guns.
Film at 11.
I love when he explained, I don't know if you captured the audio or not, of him explaining how the weapon works to the girl that he was with.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's good stuff. Definitely. I got that one coming.
Why are you explaining that to me? I have a gun, too.
However, let's talk about the police inspector who kept aiming the gun at everybody and pointed up at himself. I don't remember what he said here. I just remember liking this line, so here it is.
Minutes later, the police, led by Inspector Daniel Clay, arrived at the scene.
Who found them?
The man and girl.
Medical examiner been around yet?
Just left. The morgue wagon ought to be along most any time.
You get their statement?
Yeah, much as we could. They're pretty scared.
Finding a mess like this ought to make anyone frightened. Have one of the boys take the guy and the girl back to town. You take charge.
Okay, Inspector. What are you going to do?
Look around a little.
It's pretty dark out there. Once you get beyond the range of those lights, you won't be able to see your hand in front of your face.
I will get one of the flashlights from the patrol car.
Okay, be careful, Clay.
I'm a big boy now, Johnny.
I get flashlight from patrol car.
When you ask the reclusive old gentleman who's been a widower for 25 years at church to do a scripture reading.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
That's what he reminds me of. He gets
it
up
was
there.
Like that. Yeah, like he's not used to reading much. You know,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, like that's who you want in your film, an actor who doesn't know how to, you know, read
act,
lines.
Yeah.
Read lines. A good one from patrol car. And what I like about it the best is that he'll stumble in between his sentences. And
they didn't cut it. I'm not asking him to do it again.
Dude,
the guy's
a giant wrestler guy. They're not going to ask
him. He's like 400 pounds. Forget about it.
Cut. Can we do that again?
He's taking a few blows to the head. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like, again, he was the compelling factor in the whole movie for me, both from a this is terrible aspect to a he really kind of pulled it off with the zombie thing. I liked him.
Yeah.
He was my favorite bit.
He was. I agree. As the bad guys, he was my favorite because Vampira, I mean, all she really done was she was hiding behind those bushes, and she would just look at you, and that'd be it.
Yeah,
with her freaky long fingers that I couldn't tell where the nails began and the fingers ended.
Yeah,
yeah.
She was all right. I guess she didn't. I guess that character was hers, and seems a little weird. It's kind of like having, I don't know, like Ernest P. Worrell in your movie, or you know what I mean, like having a character like Pee Wee Herman in your regular movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine if Pee Wee Herman was just standing outside your window looking. Just kind of staring. Every now and then you go to the window and throw the blinds up, and there he is staring. You're like, okay, I feel better now. That's good. Yeah, that's
a good point.
That's the way he's supposed to be, so I'm going to be happy.
Paging Mr. Herman.
Paging Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman.
All right. They are among us. Here's our mystery. This is our mystery clip of the week. Jeez, Brian, I didn't know you're such a student of the Pee Wee Herman thing.
It was dead on.
It was amazing. Oh, kind of freaking me out. Next thing you know, you're going to get busted in a porno theater or something.
Yeah, but let's hear your Dudley Manlove.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, no, I can't. I can't do that.
All right. But you will hear shortly. They are among us. Mystery clip. No idea what it meant, but I'll play it now.
I saw a flying saucer.
Saucer? You mean the kind from up there?
Yeah, its counterpart. It was shaped like a huge cigar. Dan and Edith saw it too. And when it passed over, the whole compartment lighted up with a blinding glare. Then there was a tremendous wind that practically knocked us off our course.
Well, did you report it?
Yeah. I radioed in immediately, and they said, we'll keep it quiet until you land. And as soon as we landed, big army brass grabbed us and made us swear to secrecy about the whole thing. Oh, it burns me up.
And a big army brass, see?
Burns me up, see?
Big army brass.
I would be a lot more pissed off that I worked as a pilot and I had to fly a plane that doesn't have chairs.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Or a steering column, or something other than a piece of cardboard and a couple of drapes. Maybe.
What are you sitting on? Are they squatting in the cockpit? I don't get it. Every time.
Yeah, and that guy. I mean, that guy was an actor. He could actually pull off acting. I think this is a terrible movie, but the other guy sitting next to him is like, oh yeah, look at that over there. There's something out the window. Hey everybody, I should be the chiropractor. I mean, he was terrible.
God, only bad part about the good actor was he couldn't say Sullivanite. So,
I didn't really pay attention. Did he struggle with that?
Yeah, he said Sullivanite.
Oh,
Sullivanite. He tried to say it really fast. Like, if I say it fast, they won't notice. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about.
Now, this next clip goes to Brian's introduction, Brian Dunaway's introduction today. This is Colonel Edwards doing his thing.
Colonel Tom Edwards, in charge of saucer field activities, was to make the greatest decision of his career. He made that decision. Colonel Edwards gave the signal to fire.
Love that guy. Don't know what the crap's going on with saucer field activities, but
that's the greatest job ever.
Well, Ed Wood was like, where can I steal war footage and then put it in my movie this terrible shot of this guy? Yes, Brandon.
And every piece of footage of I'm not going to give it the good grace to call it stock footage, because this is this is footage that no good stock footage user at any newscast would ever choose to put up on television. but this, I mean, this is like, it's like 17 disparate bits of people firing all sorts of interesting mortar weapons that were mass produced.
Yeah. In places that didn't match.
Right. As a result, as they edited, you know, from one clip to another, you had different qualities of lighting and the film itself. Like, there were some shots where the film itself was really damaged. And so you're going from a fairly good looking shot to a shot that has lots and lots of hairs and scratches on it.
Mm-hmm. Like old newsreel footage. And
that's where I started.
Even back then, those weapons were scary as crap.
Oh yeah, dude. They would load up rocket powered mortars on the back of a truck.
Exactly.
And just have them firing over the driver's head.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's pretty amazing. I don't know what war that was from. Maybe the Korean conflict, probably. It's my guess. Some of it was like training footage from the U.S.
As old as Minnesota, those looked probably from World War II.
Yeah. Weird choices, but that doesn't really end there. If you want to know what Plan 9 is, now's your chance.
Have your report. We had to pull in here to Space Station 7 for regeneration. We're returning to the planet Earth immediately thereafter.
What progress has been made?
We contacted government officials. They refuse our existence.
What plan will you follow now?
Plan 9. It's been absolutely impossible to work through these Earth creatures. Their soul is too controlled.
Plan 9. Ah, yes. Plan 9 deals with the resurrection of the dead. You attempted any of this plan as yet?
Yes, Excellency.
How successful has it been?
We have risen two so far. We shall be just as successful on more.
We have risen two so far.
And here's Gale with the weather.
Yeah, exactly.
And now a bouncy tune from our in-house band. I love that guy. Okay, now Randy, or not Randy, Brian Dunaway, you mentioned, did I have clip of the, of Eros, Man Love Joy toy? What's his name?
Eros,
I guess.
Manlove.
That's it. Manlove Joy Toy. Don't forget it. Write it down. He tries to explain the electrode gun to this chick.
Yeah.
And it is my probably favorite conversation outside of the Gravediggers.
What do you think will be the next obstacle the Earth people will put in our way?
Well, as long as they can think, we'll have our problems. But those whom we're using cannot think. They are the dead, brought to a simulated life by our electrode guns. You know, it's an interesting thing when you consider the Earth people who can think are so frightened by those who cannot, the dead.
Okay, dude, shut up and let's get on with
it. That dialogue is awesome.
What kind of obstacles do you think the humans will put in our way? Maybe live people? I don't know.
I had a lot of fun with this movie in this way, and maybe this is as good a time as any to talk about kind of what we overall got out of it. Whenever we got to the space stuff and it just got sort of goofy and kind of reminded me of the whole Flash Gordon vibe and all that, That's when I thought the movie succeeded and was just fun. I mean, it was still terrible, but it was fun. It was fun listening to him just say stupid, ridiculous things to her and explain the plan and stand inside of that thing. It was supposedly a saucer, but on the outside looked like a damn building with a ladder on it.
And you know what's funny? I thought I damned that part. I said, damn it, that part. But because I was like, okay, this is obviously a square building and it's supposed to be on the bottom of a saucer.
Yeah.
But if you look in some of the models when they're floating down, they're actually square on the bottom.
What?
And I had to go back and take it back.
Dude, those saucers were probably about 2 inches wide and were on wires all the time. But, there's some stupid toy.
Yes, I know, but the bottom, the landing platform was square.
You're
just,
making that
just
up.
Just like the door.
I think you're making that up.
Over every major television studio in Hollywood.
Yeah. Exactly. Because that's why I was worried about that. Because I was like, oh, there's NBC. Yeah, yeah. ABC. Okay. Don't want to leave CBS out, dude. No, there's CBS. Good job.
Hey, there's a very sexy part of the movie. I don't know if you guys saw this. Very sexy. Little talk here. A little bit of pillow talk, actually. Going to play this clip for you. Tell the kids to leave the room just for a minute. Here's a very steamy scene in this film.
Besides, I'll be in bed before half an hour is gone, with your pillow beside me.
My pillow?
Well, I have to have something to keep me company while you're away. Sometimes in the night when it does get a little lonely, I reach over and touch it. Then it doesn't seem so lonely anymore.
That was going to actually be my opening. Yeah, on this show, but
reaching over and touching your pillow.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about your pillow. I was actually gonna say Scott's pillow. But,
Brian likes to quote unquote reach over and quote touch my quote pillow.
Touch my pillow.
Right. If this was a video podcast and you could have done air quotes, it would have worked out.
Yeah. I was actually doing those actually.
That's the reason why I backed off.
I'm doing them right now.
Wink wink.
Yeah. We'll just emote it with audio clues. Okay, another great advancement during the 1950s was of course the language computer.
We've received messages from their spaceships. For a while, it came in as just a lot of jumbled noise.
And now, sir?
Well, since they first tried contact with us by radio, we've developed a language computer, a machine that breaks down any language to our own. I think it's about time you heard these recordings.
This is Eros, a space soldier from a planet of your galaxy. I fully realize our language differences. However, I also know you finally have perfected the dictal robotary, or as you on Earth call it, the language computer.
Oh, the dicto robotary! I see.
That's such a worse name.
Yeah.
And first we thought it was computer.
We was picking up transmissions, and first we thought it was some dolphins going. Yeah. Then we got the dicto translator. We figured out what they were saying.
Dicto robotary.
Hey, do you think we should? You think we should go back and translate the previous messages they sent us?
Yeah.
Nah.
Why not?
No need.
What I like is...
How does our language computer know what the word dictalobiter means?
What I really like about that is it's almost like a double-edged insult. So you got Eros getting on there going, oh, you're finally smart enough to make this language computer. But if you were really smart, you'd know it was called the Dicto Robotorter or whatever.
We've got three just in my office.
So stupid, dude. So
stupid. And then in that same message, he doesn't finish.
No. He doesn't finish?
He stops before the message. You know, seriously, like there's just...
Yeah.
They cut it off. If you don't, it's something like, if you do not respond to our request soon, we are going to...
Yeah, no, this is our final... y'all still recording? Message.
All right. I have one more clip. This is about the history of the bomb. Brian alluded to it. Now here it is, naked for your enjoyment.
Why is it so important that you want to contact the governments of our Earth?
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
You just hold on, Buster.
No, you hold on. First was your firecracker, a harmless explosive. Then your hand grenade.
Okay, can I just pause that for a second?
Yeah.
He's saying that we started with a firecracker.
Yeah.
When?
As a weapon. Sure.
Yeah, as a weapon. It started when caveman made the first M80 and blew up a mailbox. I mean, what the crap?
I remember back in WW1 when we were throwing firecrackers at the enemy.
We still roared horses. We'd ride into enemy territory and Throw a bunch of lady fingers in and see what would happen.
All we had were snakes.
I'll continue where this was.
They begin to kill your own people a few at a time. Then the bomb. Then a larger bomb. Many people are killed at one time. Then your scientists stumbled upon the atom bomb. Then the hydrogen bomb, where you actually explode the air itself. The only explosion left is the solarbanite.
And then you went back to a smaller bomb.
Exactly.
The solarbanite. Solarbanite. That was dumb, stupid, lame. And again, in the right hands, though, you could. It's an interesting concept that man has is just creating greater and greater ways to destroy themselves, and then some other alien race is smart enough to know that crap, they're on the verge of discovering this other thing. We should intervene. That is a premise I can play with, you know. But the presentation here, and I'm not even going to blame it on old school techniques. You know, next week we're reviewing a film that I think fares a lot better. Because it's made with people who give a crap. And despite
big difference.
Despite the look and the feel and the sound of older films, there's something there of substance and, you know, that you can sort of chew on. But this is just what? And what about the zombies again? And where was Bela Lugosi? I mean, the guy was
he was bones.
Oh, by the way, on the videotape release of the film, he's credited as almost starring.
Oh,
it literally says almost starring Bela Lugosi, which is kind of terrible. Poor guy.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I know. Feel bad about
it. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. We're sorry to any of his living relatives who are listening
Lugosi
now.
The Lugosi Foundation, who continues on for Dracula issues everywhere. All right.
Well, FilmSec is almost starring Tom Merritt.
Indeed. All right. Let's get to our FilmSec checklist. We have this every week. And this is the things that are in most movies we watch. We need to make sure if they show up here. Did anybody barf? Nope. No one barfed in movies back then.
Just me.
Yeah. Just a little in your mouth. I think I barfed a little. Booby, sort of, the vampira chick.
Mm-hmm. Some cleavage.
Yeah, a little bit. No, I mean, you know, not full on exposure.
Not really. Not really worth renting the movie for there.
No.
Yeah.
This doesn't have
not unless you're in those really small waists, if that's your thing.
Think of the money she saves on belts.
Well, I just use a little. What? I don't even know what you'd get that small.
Well, you cut. You know, you take a normal belt, cut in half. Look at that. You got two belts.
Two belts for one. Nice job. Stereotypes: cops and military were the big two here, I believe.
Oh yes.
Big army brass.
Mm-hmm. Big army brass always sticking their nose in things. Decapitation: not one.
No. I was just deskeletization.
Yeah, deskeletization. I guess
that was pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah.
That was the one time in the film when I went, oh, they actually did something that entertained me. They threw the cloak down and there's a skeleton. I love it.
And they got it from like the science department at Berkeley or something.
Yet another method to try and confuse those crazy humans. Look, I'm going to turn him into a skeleton. Oh, crap. I can't turn him back. So I guess that one's used.
What do you think, Chief? I'm totally confused. Then we got, let's see, somebody peeing? No, no peeing, guys. Bad guy with a theme or sound or song, sort of.
Vampira had, anytime they showed up, they had
a really lame, whatever. Obi-Wan Kenobi type, nope. Mm-hmm. Which I think this movie was less of a movie because of. You need a Kenobi type.
Yeah.
Colonel
Edwards. This movie needed so much, though.
Yeah. Colonel Edwards was kind of my Obi-Wan in this movie. So.
Your father wanted me to give you this weapon. Look, I can poke my hat up with it. I can jab it in my shoulder. I'll wave it around.
Yeah. Indeed.
I love that scratching his neck. I meet you right here. I think I'll use my revolver to scratch it.
Animal or robot as comedy relief. Not really. Aliens were a kind of that.
They were
kind of
robotic. Yeah.
And they were kind of funny, you know, I guess.
Yeah, the flying saucers were comic related.
Yeah, that's true. They were kind of a robot.
Yes.
Kid named Billy.
They were on fire.
Kid named Billy, Bobby, or Buddy. Nope. No kids.
Not a kid. Just Billy.
Yeah. And finally,
I don't think films this old can apply to the list.
Yeah, the list doesn't do as well. There's
Danny.
No question about it.
Danny was kind of a child.
Who was? The co-pilot. We can give him that.
Co-pilot.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's the closest equivalent to? And then finally, in this one, I don't think we have any answer for, and that is, do we have a cave that looks like a vagina? but I wrote on here a note. No, but the whole movie kind of turned out to be one. So,
nice.
Zing.
Yeah.
Female genitalia joke. Ba-ding. All right. So, if you guys had to sum up this movie in some sort of Twitter post, the things you loved, the things you hate, How would you sort of roundly or soundly round this up into a nice little package? Let's start with Randy. Randy, go ahead.
I always go with an element from the film lately with my Twitter posts. I'm going to have to stop doing that. But I just can't get over the headline on the newspapers. I would Twitter, saucer seen over Hollywood.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That's my. That's the best
picked
thing
up
in the film
by
for me.
Drunk guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. Very nice. Good job. Brian Ibbett.
I'd say, here's my barrel, here's my fish, and here's my shotgun.
Very nice.
Very good, very good.
Mr. Brian Dunaway.
Okay. I actually typed these in Twitter to make sure they'll fit.
Oh, nice.
Let's see you make a better movie with 1950s technology, $60,000, and a minute's worth of footage of Bela Lugosi.
Wow. For a guy that complained to us all week about this movie, you are the biggest apologist for this film today.
I am, indeed.
That's nice. I like it. Someone needs to stand up for it.
Somebody.
Nothing wrong with that.
Why? Why does anyone need to? I keep wanting to ask Scott Johnson, why do you want this to be improved on or remade or stood up for
know.
So bad?
Well, Brian found a remake, right? Brian Dunaway,
yeah.
You found
well, there's
a remake.
Yeah, there's two remakes in the plan, but there's only, both of them are independent. Just like in the, just like this movie, this is an independent film.
Yeah.
There's two independent filmmakers out there making remakes of this. One is further along in production, apparently, because there's a full-on trailer out there for it. If you look for a Plan 9 remake trailer, you'll find it out there on Google. And there's another one, but it's just basically text and says, hey, if you like Plan 9, you'll really like this movie.
Well, it's in the tradition then. Sounds like they're not steering too far from the tree here.
No.
Or that's not a good saying. Anyway. I'm going to tell you what you missed while you blinked during this movie. Best co-star name ever, Dudley Manlove.
No.
Guy in charge of wardrobe was named Dick Cheney. Something I noticed in the credits.
Yep, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I noticed it.
Dick Cheney made wardrobe.
See, that could be the guy who said, hey, wave that gun around. If you shoot yourself in the face, we'll just say you're hunting.
Yeah.
That's right. Indeed. It probably was really Dick Cheney. He's old enough to be there.
Yeah. Quick tip, if you're going to get scared and run out of the house, make sure you run through the cemetery across the street. Brilliant idea. That's the safest place to be.
With these flimsy cardboard tombstones.
Yep. In this world, day and night at the same time, unless Brian's right about it. Whatever. Best space door opening ever. Can you see that awesome door while you can see it kind of jerking open while two guys
turn the washing machine knob to get it open?
Yeah. I appreciate the sound effect. I don't know if they were banging on the saw.
It went on forever. The sound effect went on and on and on. You're like, how long does it take to open a door?
Yeah.
I've never heard metal like this. Doing, doing, doing.
And lastly, the bottom of that ship is a damn house, unless you believe Brian Dunaway.
Mm-hmm. Which could be, yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course it was. Every time they were in that ship, they were just in some freaking room with windows on it.
No, it wasn't.
It lowers. That house part lowers out of the bottom of the saucer section.
Yeah.
I have to validate this movie.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
You think aliens are all using oscilloscopes? Frequently.
I actually think they're using a wobble warp drive, and that's the reason why the saucers are doing like that.
Wobble warp drive. it's the illusion of hanging by a thread.
The best one though is the car it's when the car like would drive.
A washing machine could kind of fly if it was an offload. You know what I mean?
When the cars would drive and they would show three saucers out in front of the car, you could tell it was wires connected to the car. Like, and
those
these small models.
Incredible.
I love that, dude. That was a great cheapo effect. Yeah. I mean, the other ones with strings, those are stupid. But when he's driving along and you're trying to show that, we're in our car and there's three saucers going as fast as we are outside. That was a great effect. I like that. All right. Well, there you go, folks. Scott Fletcher, of course, likes to sum up these movies in a quote or two. He's going to give us this one this week for Plan 9 from Outer Space.
A flying saucer? You mean the kind from up there.
And there you go. That's a brilliant one.
That was brilliant.
Thank you, Scott Fletcher, for that. Really appreciate it. I'm going to recommend people see Plan 9 from Outer Space. I think you just at least need to put this down as something you've done. Get it out of the way. Finish it off. Don't wonder what you're missing.
I was surprised at how many sci-fi fans I talked to had not seen it. So it was very interesting. So, go out and see it.
Yeah, I agree. Brian, would you recommend it? People should see it? Dunaway?
David Dunaway, I would say yes, see it. And you'll hate yourself for it later, but
Now you're not apologizing for it anymore.
But no, but you'll have a greater appreciation. Now you'll know what all those jokes are about.
Okay,
that's the reason why I watch a lot of things.
We look to Randy for the even hand here. We look to him for the grounded, level-eyed, sort of
this. in the line of bad films, you go in knowing it's a really, really bad film. So I think even among bad films, it's an acquired taste.
Mm. Yeah,
this is one of those movies where I wouldn't tell bad film lovers to watch it unless they're the sort that, like Brian Dunaway just said, wants to know where, you know, some of the worst stuff and some of the best jokes that followed it came from. It's not, you can kind of imagine bad stuff and save yourself watching this. But like I said earlier, hey, it's an hour and 15 minutes. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like two episodes of Seinfeld, man. Just go do it, watch it. And here's the thing. If you're a completionist bad movie watcher, this has to be in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So please go see
it. There's a reason why the very first thing that Mike Nelson did when he came up with Riff Trax was Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those films that they just, I'm sure they desperately wanted to do on Mystery Science Theater for whatever mm-hmm. reason they couldn't. And, you know, when he came up with this idea of sort of skirting the rules with Riff Trax, I mean, right out of the gate, Plan 9. Obviously one of the most easiest to make fun of films ever.
Could not agree more. So,
I give this a Plan 5 out of a possible Plan 9.
All right. I like that rating system. I will give it a Plan... I'll give it a Plan 7. Out of Plan 9, yeah. What would you give?
You would think it would be the de facto Plan 9 of Plan 9, but...
Nope. I have to give it a lower plan than that. Ibbett, what would you rate it?
I'd give it a Plan 3 out of a District 9.
Oh, hey, that's a different scale. That's much more granular. Randy, how would you rate it?
I'm going to give it an I out of a V.
All right. I out of a V. Excellent. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of FilmSack. Thank you guys all for being here. Really appreciate it. Don't forget the website. It's filmsack.com. The Twitter is FilmSack. And you can also send us email, feedback, and movie recommendations to filmsack@gmail.com. Our next movie coming right up next week will be the original Fly, the old Fly, which I still think was originally black and white. You'll hear us argue about that next week. So make sure you check that out. Until next time, for Scott, for Brian, for Randy, and for Brian, have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.
Excellent.
It's alive. Amazing. It's alive.
We all showed up at the same time. That's great.
Oh, good. I was afraid that I was holding you guys up.
You were.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Don't tell him.
Usually you are. I always think, what is Ibbett going to do to thwart my plans tonight? I am too busy going to get flashlight from patrol car.